Okay, won't need the sun because they're talking.
Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport. Now, we're joined in the studio by journalist and author Craig Birch. He has written Tales from the Top Table, How Boxing Superstars Took Over a Town. Craig, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. Now, it's a compilation of stories from some of the world's most legendary boxers, as told to Richie Woodall at a venue up in the Midlands. It's a venue I didn't know much about, so it's probably worth filling us in on that first.
Yeah, well, I'm from Leicester, so before I've moved to the area, I think I'd never been to Cannock either. It's a place called Bar Sport. It only holds, well, the upstairs, it's quite an intimate venue, only holds 300 people upstairs, but they've had some of the best, probably after dinner speakers in the region, really. I mean, obviously Floyd Mayweather was there.
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather and Canuck, he came through the town, if you're reading the book, in a fleet of 15 sports cars. He'd rented one, I think, from a friend of mine as well and managed to scuff it a little bit. But funny enough, he didn't argue with Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, no. Just give him the money and forget
it. Yeah, Pele was also at Bar Sport, taking it away from boxing a little bit. So, and all the people you see in the book.
So it's a sports bar. Is it a private members bar?
It's
is it a private
bar.
Members club?
Yeah, it's Bar Sport. Yeah. But upstairs is the Premier's.
And is it a private members club?
The private members evening. It's not members as such, but the private evenings that are tickets are normally upstairs, but they have all the sports on downstairs as well. So for the people of Cannock, who are certainly those of a sports mentality, it's
run
enjoyable.
By a guy called, as you said, he's kind of getting top names in a place where you wouldn't necessarily expect.
He might
go into the centre of Birmingham, but there they are in Cannock, which isn't a million miles away, of course.
Yeah.
But so it's run by a guy called Scott Murray.
Who was
a boxer himself.
He was, I think he boxed at heavyweight as an amateur as well, and he went away, certainly as an amateur, to America and trained quite extensively over there. But very big boxing fan, and obviously with Richie Woodall's input as well.
Yeah, Richie compares these evenings,
isn't
he?
Yeah, he's brilliant. He's absolutely
so it's a kind of labour of love then for Scott, is it, to have all these great fighters in his place just talking about the old days?
He's still churning out the evenings as well. I think he's got Luke Campbell there next week and so on. And
excellent.
He had Marvin Hagler, I think, up in Scotland for something he was doing with the Ken Buchanan Foundation. So
where did the idea of the book come from? The idea of kind of compiling the best bits of all the stories from those nights?
I was a newspaper journalist at the time, a boxing correspondent for the local paper there. And it sort of started out as 2,000 word features, and it was just such great content. And as much as you like newspapers, they do tend to get forgotten quickly. So I wanted to immortalise that and maybe make the features a bit longer.
Mm.
You'll notice there's 12 chapters in the book, 12 rounds. So it was my first point.
Yeah. Very nice.
And it was going to be everything sort of about 8,000-9,000 words. Just something you could easily pick up and put down as a boxing fan, because we all lead such busy lives these days. It's nice to just read the one story and not be hanging on a cliffhanger waiting for the next part.
I can imagine the retired boxers themselves absolutely love it, because they're going into amongst fans and you know, fans that know their stuff.
Yeah.
But also that retirement, it takes its toll, doesn't it, on people?
It does.
That when they stop being a boxer, you either go into training or what. So to get to talk about the old days with their old friends, I'm sure gives them a lot of joy.
Yeah, yes, of course. Nigel Bennett is in here as well. He tweeted me to say that he liked the feature that really delved into how he got into boxing, his time in the army, his time as an amateur. A lot of people seem to forget as well, and how he came on to be the man he is today. And obviously he's still been quite well bitten by the boxing bug as well.
I mean, we've discovered today that he's got an injury and his fight is off. You said they've issued a statement though, saying
they did.
The bill will go ahead just without Nigel.
I think Nigel had an anti-inflammatory injection into his shoulder last week, the statement suggested. He was there watching his son Conor box on Saturday. Didn't really look like he was hurt there. There was no talk of the fight being off, because I did watch an interview with IFL that he did afterwards. But I think the statement went on to, or some reports have gone on to suggest, he sparred yesterday and was experiencing pain in both of his arms when trying to throw a punch, and you can't box like that.
To be honest, a bit of me is quite pleased.
There is a touch of relief about it. You can understand.
It was just hard to know how it was going to turn out, because he's in incredible shape for a man of his age, but it's the reactions and so on. But your body does break down no matter how. But then again, young people are not exempt from injuries either, particularly in boxing. It's a hard sport. It's a hard camp any time you go into that.
Yeah, that's very true. So, also in there, it's funny, Charlie and I were both drawn to the Barry McGuigan chapter in there that tells the story of the Steve Cruz fight when he went up and fought in 110 degrees in a car park in Vegas. I remember that fight pretty vividly. I mean, he was just absolutely hanging, wasn't he? It really took its
Cruz,
toll on him.
I mean, Cruz could handle it a little bit better, because Cruz was a bit more acclimatised to it, but Barry, poor old Barry, wilted in it, and if it had beat Cruz as he was expected to, his story could have been a little bit different as well, but he didn't do too
bad. It was a shame because I don't think people quite understand the Barry McGuigan in the 80s. You know, 18 million people watched watched that the fight where he became world champion. 18 million people watched it.
And then Pedroza fight. Pedroza fight,
Well, I was born in 82 and I can still remember watching that when I was a child. It was it was an event in any household.
It was a kind of prime time Saturday night, wasn't it?
And then this was the follow-up fight, was it? Was this the follow-up fight?
Oh, no, it was he had quite a few fights after that.
He did, I think he boxed a lot of defences. He was coming up to it. It's funny, really, because when Barry sort of left his pomp as the big draw for TV viewers, along came Nigel Benn and Chris Eubank, didn't they? That generation of fighters, and obviously to have them all in this book is great, really, because you sort of get to flow from one story to another. I think there's four middleweights that flow from each other. So
they do love an entourage box, as you mentioned, Floyd Mayweather, and they do bring
25, I believe. Or 25 or 26, and one of them was one of the burliest men I think I've ever seen in my life, and he was a...
It's interesting, isn't it, a boxer feels that he's got to have a bloke probably twice the same size as him to look after him in case anything happens.
Yeah, I think this guy was three times or so.
Floyd could look after himself, I sense, don't you?
Well, you'd think, well, I bet people want to have a pop at you all the time.
Would you want to do that? My immediate reaction on seeing someone like Floyd Mayweather is not, oh, I wouldn't mind having a pop at you. I mean, you'd be an idiot,
wouldn't
you?
That's because you're not an idiot.
Very nice guy.
There are a lot of idiots around.
Yeah.
It's strange, but Mike Tyson came into the TalkSport studios, I think, to go and drive a few years back, and again he brought so many people with him. You know, just
he does. I don't think he has that many around him now. But journalists do try and catch him out sometimes. I think I've seen a few of them, but I think Mike's a bit more.
So when they turn up to the sports bar in Cannock, are they told just what stories you want, or is it you can say what you like and they normally give you a little bit more because they're amongst friends?
We tend to leave that to Richie. I mean, particularly with Mayweather, Richie did a fantastic job of getting Floyd to talk about, you know, his upbringing. There's a lot of things that none of us really know, really. I mean, because everybody sees Money Mayweather, they don't realise what it took to make all that money and, you know, the struggles he's had himself. Certainly made you look at Floyd in a different light. He was a very nice guy, I thought, on the night. So he wasn't there for very long, and he was off to where he was off to, and that was
having someone like Richie means, because he can talk to them on a level of having fought himself, he can dig a little bit deeper.
Richie's one of the best pundits going, in my opinion. He's a real good guy, and obviously he was a fantastic fighter himself.
Do you bring kind of fighters back together again? I see there's a thing about Froch and Groves in the book as well, isn't there?
They weren't actually on the same night, but that was the way they talked about each other. I mean, it's interesting now, they do a lot of punditry together as well, but they were still pretty much at pistols drawn at that stage. But obviously, the weird thing with those events was, towards the end, Froch did nothing but talk about Groves, and then Groves did nothing but talk about Froch. So to put them together was obvious, really.
Yeah. We've just had an excellent fight. Josh Taylor fight of the weekend.
Yes.
Progress was excellent, wasn't it?
I knew Progress were causing problems, but I know there was some... I seem to be used to speak to about the scoring. I did have Josh Taylor winning by a couple of rounds.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a judge. So.
But technically, as technical fighters, they were incredible. Yeah, their technique and everything was just fantastic.
Progress is very strong for somebody of that size as well. And he punches very accurately. Yeah. Josh really had, you know... Certainly got to be his best career performance to date. He made for an excellent fight.
And a pair of them afterwards credited the sport the following morning, Progress, saying, you know, I wanted to win the fight. Hopefully I can get a rematch one day, but this is a great champion, arms round each other.
Yeah, it was great to see. And we'd all pay to watch that again, I think, as well. Yeah.
Josh Taylor's eye, I liked it at the end. My eye's not too bad, is it? He was saying that in the ring at the end of the fight. Don't look too bad, is it, my eye? And everyone was like,
I've got a little bit of eyeshadow on.
Fine, Josh. Put some sunglasses on, it'll be fine.
And where do you think, after Chisora Price, where do you think that leaves David Price now?
I don't think... David said beforehand he was never going to retire, no matter whether he lost to Chisora or not. So maybe... maybe they'll get him out again. I know we'll certainly want to be a part of when Callum Smith finally gets to Anfield to box. Yeah. And this doesn't have to be the end for David Price, but whether he can compete at Chisora's level again remains to be seen, really. And for Derek Chisora, it looks like it'll be Usyk next, Alexander Usyk.
Yeah, which it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, what he's like at heavyweight, isn't it? And how that all shapes
That's
up.
That's a great fight.
I'm sure Derek will have no problems ruffling his feathers, whatever.
No.
That's going to be in a fight full of aggression and strength. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and that's just for Chisora.
Just on his own. You know, I often see the towel thrown in, and maybe some people would say not enough, but they clearly felt that Chisora was just going to come across the ring and you know, do him some damage, so they probably did the right thing.
I thought on TV it was a little bit hard to spot quite what trouble David Price was in, but when they slowed it down and you saw some of the shots in slow motion that he was getting caught with,
yeah,
maybe it was the right decision. Who knows him better than his corner?
He's a lovely man, David, but it's been a real Achilles heel for him, hasn't it, really? He does, when he gets tagged, he does get hit quite a lot. You know, that one that sort of weakens him, then he's pretty open. He takes some punishment. He often has, hasn't he, really, in fights?
He didn't use his jab against Chisora as well as he should have as well. He'll be disappointed with that, because that was the one weapon he had that maybe Derek didn't have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not to that standard, anyway.
That's true. Derek made it his fight, didn't he, as he often does.
From the off, pretty much from the start.
Did. That's true. So, tales from the top table, how boxing superstars took over town by Craig Birch with a forward by Richie Woodall. All those stories from the likes of Ken Buchanan and Floyd Mayweather and Nigel Benn and Anthony Joshua, Carl Frampton, Carl Froch, George Groves, Joe Calzaghe, Tyson Fury, Chris Eubank, and lots more besides. Good to see you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
It's published by Pitch and is out in hardback now.